We're thankful to God for allowing us all to be here. Are you thankful? God has been good to us, watched over us last night, gave us this opportunity to come and hear. Hopefully you can put all your concerns aside and focus on your worship. And if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're honored guest. We appreciate you being with us. Or if you're listening to us via the conference call or one of our live stream mediums, we welcome you to the services as well. In the Church of the Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and we must obey it in order to go to heaven. Amen? And Jesus did die on the cross. We believe that. Not because we ever saw it with our own eyes, but because the Bible teaches us that he hung on the cross in Jerusalem, and he shed his blood that'll wash our sins away, and that same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ. That's the only one you ever read about in the Bible. And to become a member of the church, you must be obedient to him after hearing and believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God before men, and then must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. So if you're here today and you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, not a member of the Church of Christ, we hope you'll do it today. We pray you will. We pray you'll come down the aisle today and make that noble confession, become a member of the Lord's church. Now, here's the danger of not becoming a member of the Lord's church, is you could die in your sins. Jesus was the one who said, if you die in your sins where I am, what church? You cannot come. That means you can't go to heaven. And so the beginning of becoming a child of God is being a believer in the Bible, and the Bible is right. And we believe that if you believe the Bible, then you'll become a member of church like we do, like we are, because that's what the book says. Now, this morning, we just finished Daniel. I'm doing excerpts and different chapter studies of books of the Old Testament. So we did a few in Daniel, and I thought they were pretty good, didn't you? Enjoyed the Daniel study. Now I'm going to look at Exodus a little bit. Moses, I think it's irrelevant today, this lesson. I'm going to teach it in a way that is designed to help us understand that God sees all the afflictions that we go through. He sees all of the sufferings of the world that we see a lot of things going on in this world with wars and all kind of uproars. Amen. And we're seeing a lot of murders and things like that, and a lot of things going on. But God knows when his people are suffering, when people are going through afflictions. And that's the title of this lesson. God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Also, it's relevant for our congregation and for the period of time we're in. And I've been traveling different congregations or experiencing a lot of different things as a result of the pandemic. Many of my memberships are low, and a lot of people are still at home. And the leaders are having problems getting them to come back to the building. And there are a lot of afflictions in the church as a result of it. So post-pandemic situations are creating experiences, even the church all across the nation. All the preachers we talk to, all the elders talk to are having similar problems. And so there are some things going on that God know about. And so I know that God see all. And he knows when we're in need of a plan from him. And God, I thought when I was studying the book of Exodus, it was obvious to me that God's people were in situation. You know, Joseph had went into Egypt and they had been there a while. And they were under the Egyptian leaders as slaves. And they were going through some things. And they were going through a difficult time. And I know when we are going through difficult times, all of us as individuals are having some issues. Amen. Every one of us in here can probably say I've had some personal afflictions, sorrows, sufferings as a result of sicknesses or losses, relationships, losses of people you love. And relationship strains and marriages and homes and children And all that can go on in your life with a lot of things external, outside of your control, can be happening all around us. Y'all feel what I'm saying? As the kids would say, it's a lot of external things going on that we would love to change. Look at America, how we would love to change what we see going on in the political realm and in the world as a whole. A lot of things, if I had to switch, I could switch some things off. Wouldn't you? Some of the things we see seem like we can't agree on anything anymore, but this creates worry, concerns, and things of that nature when you're going through things, when the congregation is going through something. We love each other. We want to be at peace. We want to have joy in our lives as Christians. And, you know, the devil don't want that. The devil doesn't want us to be at peace. He doesn't want us to be okay. No, he doesn't. And we all know that, right? We know the devil, he don't want that for any congregation. It's not just Howling High. Every one of us, the Lord's churches, Lord's congregations, are dealing with the devil. It's no matter where you run, you can't get away from it. The devil is active no matter where you are. You just got to find a place to sit where find a preacher that you can learn from, a congregation where you can grow at. But don't expect not the devil not to be there, because the devil is going to show up, and he's going to show out every time. Now, he ain't going to be in the sky. He ain't going to be obvious. He wear lipstick. Amen, somebody. You know, a good-looking woman could be a devil. I mean, a handsome man could be a devil with a good-looking suit on. Amen. Amen. That's right. And you might be sitting right by one of them. Amen. You might be sitting right by a devil. And you say, bro, how you going to call people devil? Well, the devil got angels. The devil is busy. The devil, he going to use men to try to tear up the church. He'll use men and women to try to form coups and take out people and to get their agenda pushed. That's been going on since the beginning of time. This is nothing new. I'm going to go to Genesis this afternoon to talk about how all this started in Genesis. The sin is nothing new, but everyone's going to be held accountable. That's what I'll talk about this afternoon. And this afternoon, so none of us going to get away. So you say, well, Brother Brooks, you doing this or you doing that. Well, let me say something to you. Brother Brooks, I don't get away. I can't get away from having the answer to God, but neither will you. Let's make that real clear. From the pulpit to the back door. Amen. From the pulpit to the back farthest pew, every one of us must give an account to God for the way we've acted, behaved, or the sins we've lived in. Amen. God hates those who sow discord. One of the seven things he hates. And so there are a lot of things we got to understand that the world is dealing with the devil. We're dealing with the devil, and the devil is dealing with this world. Amen. So he said, well, brother, what's the relevance? Well, God can see, and he can deliver, and he can recover people. So the Israelites are in Egyptian bondage, and they're slaves, actually. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 for a few minutes, and I want to point out their afflictions. And then God had a deliverance plan for them. He had a recovery plan, and that's relevant because that's what we're going to be talking about in today's meeting. We have to do a recovery plan. We have to come up with a plan to move forward after we've dealt with what we've dealt with in this congregation. And all congregations have to do it. And hopefully this will help other congregations to come up with plans what to do after the pandemic. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law,
the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert.
Right.
And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush.
Uh-huh.
And he looked, and behold, the bush burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
Now, this is a familiar story of the burning bush, but that's not the emphasis. The emphasis here, Moses said,
and will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush is not burnt.
Uh-huh, read.
And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
Read.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt.
That's my towel right there.
And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster.
Second part, he said, I seen the affliction. What did he say next? I heard their cry by reason of their what?
Taskmaster.
And for I know their sorrows. Key things in that verse. He know he's seen the affliction of his people. Number two, he heard his people crying for help. Number three, he knew the sorrows they were going through. He knew all of this was going on with them. Let's go back to Exodus 1 and verse number 13. The Egyptians
made the children of Israel to serve with rigor.
So they putting them under hard task. I mean, they treating them like slaves. And look here, he said, they made
their lives
were bitter.
With hard bondage.
And hard work. Mortar, bricks and mortar,
all the manner of service
in the field. They were slaves, building bricks and mortar, and using straw to do it with. All their service,
wherein they made them serve, was with
rigor. It was hard work. It was rigorous work. So the application for us here is that these Egyptians were in a situation where they were under control of this Pharaoh. And this king, and they were working them like slaves. And they were Hebrew slaves. And living in the world that we're living in a world that's filled with sinful and evil people that can cause our lives to be bitter. Amen. They can cause our lives to be bitter and have some hardships that we have to deal with in this life because of the things that are going on in this world. We live in a world of wickedness. These people that were over the Hebrews were wicked. They were evil people. Paul said to Timothy about his afflictions himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to that, chapter 3 and verse number 10 and 11. Listen to what the Bible says. Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience,
persecution.
Notice it. Paul said he had personal persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecution? He said, I endured. He said, I made it. But out of them all,
the Lord delivered me.
Who did it?
The Lord.
Every affliction he had, the Lord delivered him from those afflictions and persecution. Because God is our deliverer. He said, yea, and all that live godly
in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
We are to expect to have some hard times. We're going to go through some difficult times. We've gone through some difficult times. Time is not up yet. We're going to suffer. We're going to go through some suffering, but because the world is going to get worse. Paul said, but evil men, verse number 12 here, he said, evil men, 13, evil men and what?
Seducers shall do what?
It's going to get better?
Worse and worse.
It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. That's what the Bible is telling us. And worse, deceiving, and what else?
And being deceived.
The devil is deceptive. Wickedness is going to get worse. Evil is going to get worse. This world is going to get worse. The best thing we can do for the world is to teach the gospel so more people become Christians.
Amen.
That's the best thing we can do and then live it ourselves. Live the life. That's how you make a difference. You're not going to make a difference by protesting and bombing up stuff and rioting. You make a difference by living the life God told you to live. Amen.
Amen.
The Apostle Peter said we're going to suffer. He said it too. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Look what Paul Peter says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14.
If ye be reproached for the name of Christ.
You'll be reproached for the name of Christ.
For the name of Christ.
Christ.
Happy are ye for the spirit of glory and of God.
Rested upon you.
And on their part he is evil spoken of,
but on your part is glorified. Verse 15. But he said, here's how you don't want to suffer.
As a murderer.
Now he said, do not suffer this way. As a murderer.
As a thief. Or as an evildoer. Or as a busybody.
As a busybody in other men's matter. Then he says, but if any man suffer as a Christian. You suffer because you're a Christian.
Let him not be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed of that.
Anybody going through something God.
As a Christian? Man, anybody in here other than me having some afflictions? Some sorrows? Amen. Some downtime in your life? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you ain't always on top of the mountain, right? I mean, some of us got to go through the valleys. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I done been to the valley before, haven't you? Been down where you can't help yourself hardly. Amen, somebody. Somebody ought to get an amen. All of us ain't always been up there in the top. Amen, somebody. And God can bring you down. We talked about that already. God can bring you down. Anybody in here suffering? Anybody here in your life? Are you afflicted in your home with your family? Is it in your marriage? Is it at the congregation? Where is the suffering coming from? Where is it with someone? Is it with an individual? It is with your children. Sometimes our children can bring all kind of pain and suffering into our life. Just worrying about them. You know, you said, Brother Brooks, Christians don't supposed to be worried. Well, let's say be concerned then. Amen. How can you not be concerned when you know your child been taught right? You raised them best you could, and they still leave the Lord's church. How can you rest when you need some peace? There are times that every country, we want peace at this church. Who want trouble?
Amen.
Who want to always be afflicted with some kind of argument? We ought to be Christians. Amen. And love one another in peace and joy among God's people. It can be at the shame you got to deal with everything in the world and then deal with it at the church. And that's a shame. I ain't the only one feel this way. We ought to all be ashamed. Every one of us. Anytime we're trying to serve God and get to heaven, we got enough to deal with in this world. We ought to come here and find nothing but love, peace, and joy. Amen. Why, we family. But we know in families, you'll have issues. I had issues in my family. Have you had issues in your family?
Amen.
We all have issues. Amen. What's going to get us through? Love. Why you say love, Brother Brooke? God is love. As long as we keep God in our lives and we do what God say, we can live in a good life and be like Paul who said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes.
Always.
I know you know your Bible. He don't say sometimes. He said always. And then Paul came back and again I say, rejoice. How can you do it, Paul? How can you do that when you're suffering? How can you do that when you're afflicted? How can you do that when your financials are not right? The gas prices so high. People who used to drive over here to worship, they can't drive over here to worship. They live way out there. That's $70, $80 to come to worship now. I don't blame them. I'd find me a place close to me. Gas too high.
That's right.
Hey, it's up $5, $6, $7. Man, you go in the grocery store, and right now you roll your basket in there, and for about $150, you get the bottom part of the basket for nothing else. It ain't even full yet. Amen. Y'all might well say amen. Some of y'all done went shopping lately. Man, I messed around and went in the store, and before I knew it, I had spent $100, and I didn't see nothing for it.
That's right.
It's a shame when eggs $7.
It sure is.
Make you want to go back to the country, get you a few chickens, and let them lay their own eggs. Amen. Do like mom and them, throw out some corn and stuff, let them chickens eat it up, and they'll put an egg out for you here and there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Preach, Brother Brooks. That's all right. I'm preaching. I'm doing just that. Now, because we're going through some tough times, man. You better watch your bank account these days. If you ain't paying attention, What you were spending $100 last year this time for gas, you better look at your budgets. Don't just slide your card and ignore your checking account. Because you're putting $70, $80 worth of gas in where you was putting $20. Amen. Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to say amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. But I'm going to try to watch my numbers. Are you watching your numbers? You got to cut down on some of your hamburger eating. Amen. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you got to make some changes. You got to manage your budget. So we're going to get in trouble with your finances. If you don't watch yourself, we're in a almost in a recession. Pay attention. There's some people going to suffer because of this. Amen. So those afflictions, people going through financial issues, health care being so high, health care issues. Man, we going through doctor. You got to go to doctor, the doctor, the doctor. Amen. Anybody here dealing with health issues? Anybody got to go to your doctor? Anybody got some procedures you're going through? Anything scheduled? Any surgery scheduled? You don't know when you're going to anesthesia, you might not come out. You got to know this is going to come on all of us. That's part of life. We got to deal with it. So what is it for you? What is it, my brother? What is it, my sister? What is it, the visitors that are with us? What are you going through? Why are you at the church building this morning? Why are you listening to a man preach from the Bible? Because you know you need God. Is that why? Is that why? Well, we all need to understand this. God has done for Israel, and he can do it for us too. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Exodus now in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen
the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster,
yeah,
and for I know their sorrow.
Uh-huh. How many of you are listening for this morning for a message of deliverance? Hmm. Israel was there, man. They were ready to get out of this situation they were in. So Exodus verse 8, God said, listen to God, tell them what the plan is.
And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians.
He came down to do what?
To deliver.
Here's what I want us to know. That the plan of deliverance is God's plan. Mm-hmm. That God can get you through whatever you're going through if you follow God's plan. Brothers and sisters, we can't go nowhere and get there without God. We got to follow his plan in your life. Follow his plan at the church. You follow his plan, God can deliver you.
Amen.
He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt. I'm getting ready to do it.
And to bring them up out of that land.
From a bad situation.
Unto a good
land. Unto a good situation.
And a large.
And a large situation.
And unto a land.
It's going to be a good, better than they ever seen. They go into a place of flowing with milk and honey. Unto a place of the Canaanites and
the Hittites and the
Amorites
and the
Perizzites
and the
Jubalites. I don't know nothing about them ites, but I know God said it's going to be a better place. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
How many of y'all anything about a Jebusite? I don't know them, but I know God said it's going to be better than Egypt.
Amen.
I'm giving you a place that's better. It's going to be larger than what. And they out there beating them rocks and making them mortars and being beat with whips by the Egyptians. And I'm sure they can't understand how I'm going to get to a place like that. Maybe you down so far, you can't see the good in being a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see what God can do for you in your life. You know, some of us are not happy with what we have. Learn, understand this. You can be content with clothing, food, and raiment. But sometimes we want to get all this, more than what God gives us. Just take what God gives you and enjoy that. You don't compare yourself to someone else. Well, that brother there, he looked more blessed. You don't know. You look at men in this world, and they look like they blessed because they got a lot of money. You think they blessed? Because they got a lot of money. Money didn't make Michael Jackson happy. No. He went to Never Never Land, built him a Never Never Land, ended up in Never Never Land. Still, somebody else spending his money. Anthony Bourdain went all over the world eating food. Kill himself over a woman. Huh? Robin Williams can make everybody else laugh.
But he wasn't laughing. He was crying on the inside, laughing on the outside. Took his own life. Amen. What measures up? What measures up for us is that when we got God's plan, God can deliver us from any situation and give us a better situation. Verse 9. Now therefore,
behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me.
I hear him crying.
And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them.
Now remember, you have the oppressors and oppression. And there are people who try to be oppressing. They will oppress you. These people, but God said, I see who the oppressor is, and I see what he's doing. And then he says, wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, come now, therefore, he said, I will send thee unto Pharaoh,
that thou mayest bring forth my people the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Now he's talking to Moses.
And Moses
said, Moses, you know, he was a Hebrew baby. Israelites were growing so big. The king told me, man, every one of them Hebrew boys, you go ahead and kill them, right? Kill all the boys, let the girls live. Y'all know the story, don't you? Mm-hmm. And then so, but you know, the woman put him by the Nile River and Pharaoh's daughter. God used the oppressor's daughter. You see how God can work? The person who may be against you, he'll use them to your favor. Amen. Mm-hmm. Like that? Mm-hmm. You like that? So, see, the point is, it's not our business to try to deal with the oppressor ourselves. We let God do the dealing. Because when God do the dealing, it's some things going to happen. Amen. That's right. Y'all understand what I'm saying, don't you? Now, he said, Moses then grows up. He don't know anything about this. Egyptian stuff going on with the Israelites and all that, and he's a Hebrew. And he said, I should go up there. Moses said unto God, who am I?
That I should go unto Pharaoh.
How you going to tell me to go help these people? That I should go up to Pharaoh and bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. This tells me that a man such as myself, that's in the primary leader of the church, the minister of the church, the evangelist, who lead God's people through recoveries and deliverances when they're going through it. My job is to follow God's plan to get his people to where he need them to be. Amen. Is that right? God always had a leader. He's always had a leader. Now understand, here's what comes with being a leader. The bullseye is on Brother Brooks at this church. You might as well understand that you want some. You think you got pressure on you? The leader is getting a whooping when you don't even know about it.
Hmm.
I know stuff you can't know about.
Hmm.
I struggle with things that I can't change. Some stuff I didn't even want to know. Wait, why are you telling us this, brother? Because the man of God that leads God's people to deliverances and recoveries must understand this, that you have to help yourself and let God help you, Brooks. Moses can't do this without God.
Amen.
And God is letting him go. Moses said, who am I? You get too high-minded doing what I do. You can get lifted up there too high. But Moses said, who am I to do this? This is a big task. Listen to God's response to this man.
And he said, certainly, I will be
God,
with thee.
Now, this is a message. I'll be with you.
I don't know
what you're going through in your life, but know this. God will be what?
With you.
With you. This is what you should take back with you. God is going to be with you. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. You're going to do this. He's telling what God's plan, laying out his plan now. And he said, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, say unto them, The God of your father has sent me unto you. And they say to me, what is his name?
And what shall I say unto them?
It is God's response. Here it is. God said.
And God said unto Moses.
I'm getting my plan is you go to the people. I'm sending you to the people. And when they ask who you are, you tell them that I am.
That I am.
That I am.
And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me.
They gonna
unto
know
you.
When he said, I am that I am. They gonna know. Then God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of whom?
Abraham.
Abraham.
The God of Isaac. The God Jacob, of Jacob has sent me.
Has
unto
sent
you.
Me. Now he listened to all their forefathers. They gonna know this is coming from God. He said, now watch this now. And what I'm going to do for them, this is a memorial. Watch it now. Here it
unto
is.
All,
a memorial
unto generation.
All generation. That's us.
That's right.
He said, God said, when Tommy Brooks in 2022 read this to the congregation, he going to know I delivered Israel and I can deliver Harlem Heights.
Amen.
Amen. That's what you tell the people, Brooks. You tell them this is a memorial that I still am God. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. Amen, somebody. I know this is good preaching. Mm-hmm. All of us need to understand who we got in our life. When you serve God, you serve the mighty deliverer. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God has a plan for the children of Israel, and that memorial is for us. Yeah, that we can have our own recovery plan, deliverance plan, as long as we do what the Lord said, and all his children across the world can have the same thing. It's for all of us. Got to have a deliverance. He said, go and gather now.
The elders of Israel.
Now get
together.
You some. Now he tell Moses, now get you some help.
And say unto them.
And what did he say? Go to who? Go to the elders. Now this is not the elders like we look at the New Testament. These men were the elderly leaders of those tribes, and so it wasn't elder as in New Testament. They didn't come on to the New Testament church, but these are leaders of Israel's people. He said, "Now you go get those men and say to them,
the Lord God of your father, tell them
my plan." Then God is saying, "Tell now I want your brothers to listen, brothers." Brothers. Amen. What I say?
Brothers.
Some brothers?
All brothers.
All brothers ought to listen real right through here. Our sisters should never have to ask, what where are your brothers? Why don't they step up? Why would a sister ask me something like that? Where are the brothers? There's a lot of brothers sitting. So you say, Brother Brooke, God has, he ain't do. He can take a broke down brother and build him up again. He can take a brother who's never been nothing in his life and make him somebody great in the Lord's church.
Amen.
God can do it. He can do some things for men. He can make you a better husband, a better father. And he can get you the respect of the congregation and the trust of the church. But he says, he said, you gather the elders together. And here's what you tell them. Here comes the plan for the brothers.
The Lord
Moses, tell these men, the Lord God of your father.
The God of Abraham of
Isaac,
and of Jacob appeared unto me saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt.
You go tell the men first that I've seen. Moses was not a one-man show. Let me set the record straight. I am not a dictator. Don't believe in it. Never have. I believe in servanthood leadership. See, you'll get called me a dictator when I have to make the hard decision that you can't. That's not dictating. That's following commands. A servant in the church, Jesus was the greatest servant ever walked on this earth. And the way he served was a dirty towel. He got down and washed his disciples' feet. That's what kind of servants we should be. But then when you look like you're a one-man show, that's what people who don't like the decision say about you. See what I'm saying? Remember I told you the one man here is Moses. But he said, go get the elders. And tell them the plan. And there are some men in that group that'll help you, Moses. See, now I know that too. I know that this is not something I can do by myself. And somebody said, Brother Brooke don't want elders. And whoever tell you that, you just tell them that they don't know me. They don't know me. Man, I would love to have elders so much. I promise you, some of the stuff I'm dealing with, I wouldn't even have to deal with this stuff. But because it's me, I have to do it. Amen. But praise God, I got a plan, though. I got a plan. I'm going to lay it out today at the meeting. Moses was a stranger to these Israelites. So they weren't going to listen to him. But the other people, they see, some of you brothers in here can stand up and say something, people listen to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm coming down to Brother Street right now, ain't I? Yeah. This tells me, as a leader, that I'm going to need a faithful brethren around me to help me with this church, with this congregation. Every leader need faithful brethren around them that are going to do things according to God's will. So I appeal to all brothers with the spirit to lead God's people through a recovery plan, a deliverance plan. I'm appealing to all the brothers to lower yourself to a servant. Come down and serve, brother. Be a part of God's plan. Be a part of God's plan. Be a part of it. What does that mean, Brother Brooks? It's a decision you have to make. You know, not everybody can be qualified to be elder. Not everybody's going to qualify to be a preacher or a deacon. Neither do they have the desire. But boy, the work can be done by men who just love God and love the souls of people. It can be done by people who say, Highland Heights is my home congregation. I'm going to do everything I can to make it the best congregation it is. Are there brothers in here with that mindset? Are you one, a brother who preferred to sow discord rather than sow love? Huh? What's going to happen with that? God knows everything going on. God knows everything. And when you have a plan, what I'm promoting is this plan we're getting ready to implement in the meeting. And I really believe it's a good one. It's going to be a restart of everything. Yeah, man, I think you're going to enjoy it. But it's got to have some help with the brothers. Brothers got to help with this. I mean, how many of your brothers say amen to
amen.
The desire to help?
Amen.
Help for the cause, right? That's what Moses got to have. God is saying, Moses, don't do it. You can't do this by yourself. Go get the men involved. The people are going to trust them men. Get the men that been your leader, the people. So some of you men, when things are going on, you have to stand up and say something. Stand up and say something. Amen. And you know, if things are going, look like it's going bad and Brother Brooke getting all the blame, well, some of you good brother who know the truth, stand up and say, we ought not let this happen. This is not Brother Brooke's problem. When some of the good men going to stand up behind somebody? Amen. Yeah, that's what we should do. Support right. Support. Don't support wrong. Support right. When it's right, it's right. But I know of brothers. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call yesterday. Put me in tears. Oh, yeah. See, it's a lot of encouraging people in the church. A lot of people who love me. Amen. Everybody ain't against me now. Mm-hmm. Nah. It's a lot of people love me here at this congregation. I love y'all, too. You know, I know that. I know you love me. I know. But here's the thing. To get a phone call from somebody just to say, how can I help? How can I help you, Brother Brooks? Thank you, Lord, for giving me men like that in my life. Amen. Amen. So Anybody feeling what I'm saying? When you got people around you, you know, in your home, and you're going through some stuff in your life, or you're going through something in your marriage, you ought to have a brother there that can help you out, give you some encouragement. When you're having a difficult time in your marriage, there ought to be some Christians around that can encourage you. And I'm not just talking about me. It's just talking about people being in your life that can encourage you. And I was so pleased to that. And I'm thankful for the call. Just important. One phone call made my day. Amen. Somebody love you, Brother Brooke. What I got to do to help you? Ain't that good?
Yeah, it's very good.
Why don't y'all pick up the phone? Brother Kirby is real good at sending out. How many of y'all get them prayers from him? Oh, man. He sent out prayers. I bet every one of us get a text made with a long prayer on it. Some of them so long, take 20 minutes to read them. I said, man, how he write all that stuff out? I take 20 minutes to read a prayer. But being like that, you know, you need good people in your life. That's all I'm encouraging. And that's what we need. Is that right, y'all?
That's right.
Now, this is good, isn't it? Look what he said. He said, now they're going to hearken to your voice. And thou shalt come, and thou and the elders, unto the king of Egypt. In verse 18. You shall say unto them, Lord God of Hebrews, have met with us. And now let us go.
We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.
And I am sure
that the king of Egypt will not let you go.
God said, I know you're
going
to have opposition. I'm sure. Remember, Moses had to be aware. I have to be aware. There's going to be opposition. There's no way around it. He said, they're going to have it. But God said, I got a plan for them. I know how to deal with the opposition. You just do what I told you. You do the way I told you to do it, and I handle the problems. That's the way God sees it. Mm-hmm. He's telling Moses, I'll take care of the opposition. You and those leaders with the spirit that are willing to work with you, work with them, and let God deal with the opposition.
Amen.
Amen. Look what he says. God will do his part. Now God gives Moses his plan. Listen to him in verse 20. I'm going to stretch my hand out.
And smite Egypt with all my wonder.
I'm
going to
whoop Egypt good.
Which I will do in the midst thereof.
They're going to know it's me.
And after that, he will let you go.
Uh-huh. And yeah, when I get through with them, God said, I'm going to put a whooping on them. They're going to know it's me. And when I get finished with them, I'm going to have to whoop them a little bit. But they're going to let you go. He already told them. The plan is already planned out. God said, I know they're going to have a problem. I know the king will have opposition. I know he ain't going to want to let my people go. And y'all go, I'm going to let my people go. You remember that? And so God said, I'll deal with him. Okay, Moses, get your men that won't work with you and let God deal with the opposition. And I will give this people favor in the sight of Egyptians.
And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go in.
When you take these people, they're going to have everything they need. Then he says, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor
and of her
sojourn in her house, jewels of silver,
jewels of gold, and raiment. And you shall put them upon
your children,
and upon your daughter, and you shall spoil the Egyptians.
God said, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of the enemy. I'm going to take care of the opposition. I'm going to take care of the one who don't want to go with you. They don't want you to go. And when I get through whooping them, you won't be able to leave. Are you going to leave on your way to a land of milk and honey? Amen, somebody. Amen. God says it's going to be a bigger land and a bigger place. But you got to go through the pains of getting there. That's what God's going to do for us too. Amen, somebody. God is assuring them that they will have everything they need for deliverance from the Egyptian bondage or slavery. And recovering will be when they get into the wilderness. They're going to get out there and they can get the rest some from all this labor they've been having. Our rest plan is in heaven. Amen. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor in heaven laden, I'll give you rest. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. That's what Jesus said. For in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely. Moses, yes, is the primary leader. But the elders, the men with the spirit to lead God's people, going to work with him, and they're going to get the people out to safety. Amen. If you're here today and you're going through situations in your life, let me remind you, as I said in the opening, God can deliver you from your situation. This is something you got to understand. This is a relevant lesson for all of us as members of the Church of Christ. We understand where we are. We understand what we're dealing with. Amen. Y'all don't know what we're dealing with? We all dealing with this thing called S-I-N. Every one of us having to deal with this thing called sin. But God has got up to deliver. He gave us a deliverer. It's Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's the head of the church. And all of us, as brothers who love and obey him, he will give, we are to give the people his message. That's my job, is to give the people the message. And maybe you're here and you're going through personal afflictions, suffering, sicknesses, relationship strains, grief. I don't know what else you might be going through. Some things are so hard on you, I don't know what you're going through in your life. Some may be dealing with cancer. Some may be dealing with radiation and chemotherapy and dialysis and things like that. I don't know what you're going through. But God told Israel this, I have seen your affliction. I heard you cry, and I know your sorrow. That's why my message is to all of us. Don't feel like you're all alone, because God know. He know your affliction. He know your cry. He know your sorrow. Hollow Heights, he know our afflictions. He hear our cry. He know our sorrows. Because God is, I am that I am.
Amen.
I'm the God, you push Brooks, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I also love the world. Then I sent my son to deliver this world. And his son came down here and lived among men. Y'all know it, don't you? How they took him and they beat him and they mocked him and they whipped him and they spit up on the deliverer. But he wasn't a one-man show. He had apostles who had to go through it. Am I right about it? Yeah, they took him, drove nails in his hands and his foot, put him on the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw the people. I'll draw them. Just keep lifting me up on the cross, Brooke. Put me on the cross. Let them know I know. Let them know I came to deliver them. Tell them how I suffered. Tell them how I was beaten, bruised, and battered. Amen. Tell them that the soldier pierced the inside. Blood and water flowed out. And tell them that blood and water wash away the sin if they get baptized. Amen. That's the story of the gospel, a death, burial, and resurrection story, what it is. Good news is Moses was a type of Christ. God sent Moses, and God sent Christ to deliver us. Would you be delivered this morning? Would you be delivered by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, number two, be willing to repent of your sin right where you are. Just say, I'm not leaving like I came. Be willing to make this confession. You'll believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And then we will baptize you as commanded by our Lord, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Acts 2, 38, baptism for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And you turn your troubles over to God. You turn them over to God. He bore it all for us, y'all. He bore it all that we could be delivered. And God, the message is this. Holland Heights, God know what's going on in the affairs of our lives. He know each of us by a number of hairs on our head. And don't you feel like that you're alone. Because God is saying, I got a plan. I got a plan. And he got a plan for each of our lives. But you know what we have to do, y'all? We have to be obedient. We have to be obedient. Children must be obedient. Children of God got to be obedient to God. There's also called the children of disobedience. Those ones are going to be children of the devil. They're going to be disobedient. But the obedient children of God, God will bless you. Amen. Amen. He'll bless you. What I want to do now, if you want to come to be baptized, I want you to walk down to the front. If you need to make a confession, amen, or if you need prayer requests, go ahead and do that at the time of this invitation. Song is going to be sung now. We will ask you to come and do so.
There's a fountain free it is for you and me.
Let us haste,
so haste to its brink.
Don't be afraid to come.
From the source above.
And don't be afraid to come. Come to the Lord. Freely give. Will you come? Will you come?
Will you come?
To the fountain freely. Will you come?
Tis for you and me, thirsty soul.
Hear the welcome call.
Hear the welcome call.
Tis a fountain. Open for all.